Boylan interviews the girls separately, probing their memory for clues. She does not interrogate them, but engages them in casual conversation. Her questions are always indirect.
I divert them throughout the interview and then periodically interject questions about shapes and about textures. And the information and the answers are usually there because they're not dwelling and they're not second-guessing themselves.
Another one of Boylan's secret tactics is to encourage the girls to use Play-Doh to help recall their memories of the suspect's face.
And what that does, it gives her a physical anchor in the moment so that she's not, again, revisiting that crime. It's a simple little tool, but it's very effective. So I would say, if you were going to create that kind of a shape, would you create a shape that's longer than wide or the same length as width? And if I asked her that question, even in my voice tone, if I say longer than wide or the same length as width, you'll understand that that voice tone is da-da-da, da-da-da. Because if I even weight my voice tone more heavily at one end of the sentence than the other, I can lead someone that's been through trauma.
After interviewing the girls, Boylan draws a depiction that is much more detailed than the police composite. In fact, the suspect in Boylan's portrait has a beard.
There were some very distinctive characteristics in this suspect's face. There was an indentation on one side of the face and not the other, and there was a furrow in the brow. There were wrinkles in the forehead. All these single individual traits that made this single face identifiable as opposed to being generic gave me a pretty high level of confidence that we had a good rendition.
Looking at Jeannie's portrait for the first time set something off, I think, deep inside everybody that looked at it, that finally we have a face, that finally there are real sets of features that go together and underlie some kind of a personality.
When Jean Boylan's new drawing is presented to the press, she is questioned about one glaring omission.
I got this barrage of questions by the press saying, you know, what about the headbands? And my initial reaction was like, oh my God, I forgot the headband. But the reality was there was no headband. It didn't surface in either interview. What that was a perfect example of the power of suggestion. The two little girls were shown a selection of headgear, which implies that such an item exists. If I said to you, there's an old expression, don't think of a pink elephant, and when I say that to you, what do you think of?
Boylan's new drawing gives investigators renewed hope, and the search for Polly goes into high gear.
For the first time, we knew more or less what we were looking for, and I think that it instilled a sense of purpose, or reinstilled a sense of purpose to all of the various players involved, who at that time tended to be the law enforcement, the media, and certainly the massive volunteer effort as well.
There will be probably tomorrow between 200 and 300 search and rescue personnel here to assist us.
Thanks to